Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
All right, guys, welcome back to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. We're here. When does this come out? Do we have any idea?
April.
I'm going to do some topical stuff about what's going on in April. So that way they have the illusion that this is live. And listen, what happened yesterday, unbelievable. We just can't believe it, and our hearts go out to whoever it is that it happened to. So smart. You got to get ahead of it, you know? Luckily, in today's world, there's enough tragedy that it works almost every time.
You're always really sorry for tragic world.
Yeah. That's what I want my comedy show to be about, just tragic world news, the funniest kind. My stranger today, Zach Aga.
Yep.
What kind of last name is that?
It's Syrian, I guess. It's Turkish background. Okay. But like when my family came over from Turkey, they were like, "Here, this is your name." Like it was actually.
Oh, it was given to you.
Yeah, it was given.
The family.
Yeah, it used to be Aaron, I think. It's
that,
weird.
That actually seems more Americanized.
Yeah, it's like A-E-R-E-N, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. That throws them off, and yeah. Then they all get very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being here, Zach. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
What I know about you is that you owned a nightclub in Shanghai. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that still what it's called? Didn't they change the name of some of the cities?
They
That's
did.
That's Beijing.
It's Shanghai.
Okay.
Yeah. Now.
So my Kansas dialect version of it is not accurate, is what you're telling me.
No.
It was it Shanghai? I'm going off of an Owen Wilson movie. I think is about all I know. How does that happen? How does someone become a club owner in China?
It wasn't easy. I had to do a lot of things. It's like there's obviously like a ton of bureaucracy over there, and it's really difficult to get like anything done.
Yeah.
But you essentially have to team up with someone who is local there who has like a name,
right?
You know, and we pitched this woman on this concept, actually a buddy of mine that I moved out there with, and I'm not gonna mention his name, but it starts with a C and ends with a J. And
okay.
We were out there and we just kind of like had this idea based on like a friend's house that we partied at in high school. It was like my friend's parents were like divorced and his mom was left with this like massive mansion that she's like hoarded through and just like let go to shit. Like,
nice.
Really
perfect
sad.
Party house.
Yeah, and then he had like a sauna area, like another building that we just like owned and just had parties in all the time. And then like when she was gone, or like she would just lock herself in her room and we would just have these massive parties in a house. So that was kind of like the concept for the club, was like it was called the
house
mansion.
Party. Okay.
Yeah, and it was like a house party all the time, and every level you know, had some kind of other genre of music or another kind of vibe. And then the back like yard, we actually like cut down a bunch of trees. Huge no-no.
Yeah,
in China, which we didn't know. Like,
I'm sure they're cool with
that.
We're
just like, get rid of those. And it's like apparently like like 150,000 RMB per tree that you cut down. We cut down like 40.
Like, nice.
Yeah, and like we had no idea. We're just like, yeah, clear the trees. We're putting a swimming pool and a beach in the background. We're gonna have like a cabana bar in the back.
Sure.
And then we had like built like a space shuttle that was like that had like looked like it flew into the side of the building, and we were leasing this mansion. We're leasing it, and we just completely like gutted it and turned it into this party, like three levels, and then the second two like were like hostel type, where like staff, like aspiring artists could live there and like work there to live there for free.
Okay.
I guess it was a cult now that I'm
about it. I mean, it definitely sounds stranger by the explanation, which
is
nice.
But it was just like, so like people like lived in there. They were all like Artistic people.
Are these like foreigners or are these Chinese people?
Some foreigners just like traveling. Like, yeah. But people came there and then like they just fell in love with it and didn't want to leave.
People like house parties.
Yeah. And like it was just like initially we were going to do like Friday to like Sunday or Monday, but it took off and we ended up like there's like the giant, like the largest freeway in Shanghai is called like the Yan'an Freeway.
Okay.
So we had issues because it was like a really nice gated community getting in like for the house party. So we were like, maybe we can just cut a hole into the sidewalk.
Why not?
Where the freeway was.
I'm sure that's going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah. And we just winged it and just went for it. And
what I like is your game plan is risk taking. Like that's what you're sure. Like. They don't have laws here, do they? And you're like, no, it's China. The government doesn't care about anything.
It's funny that you say that because that's how it feels as a foreigner in China.
Yeah.
But like, you know, locals, Chinese in China are like, whoa, no way, you know?
Yeah.
But like you have this like feeling of like you're untouchable, you know, as a foreigner there. Like we would ride mopeds and you're not supposed to have someone on the back. And like the cops would try to stop us and they'd like try to wave us down and we'd just wave back at them and just keep going. And
unbelievable.
Yeah. And they're just like,
fantastic American mentality.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. No, the laws don't apply to us while we're here.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's our laws. Like, this isn't okay in America either. It's someone's laws.
It's a lot of paperwork for them, and then they have to call a translator to come in, and, you know, it's like, but yes, we did, we, like, played that, like, dumb foreigner,
right.
Like, card all the time, you know, you're just like, ting budong, it's just like, I don't understand, I don't speak, I speak fluent Mandarin, but, like,
not when the authorities are there. Yeah, I've not spoken English when police officers were asking questions.
How'd that work out?
I don't speak any other languages, so they just kind of looked at me like I was obviously a moron. But, you know, I was
and
in college, so it was
Kansas
fine.
Kansas ID. And yeah. Like, oh, checks out. Yeah. Yeah.
This explains it. He's a little slow.
Yeah.
So gets me every time. Now, why do you speak Mandarin? What made you learn Mandarin?
So it's funny. Like, when I first went out there, I was studying abroad. And then, like, I got into the nightlife scene pretty quickly because I'm, like, a college kid and I have all this freedom now. And
yeah, no laws.
Yeah, no laws at all in China. Anybody who's wondering.
You're studying abroad over at spring break in Shanghai.
Like, you can legitimately, like, not legitimately, illegitimately, legitimately pay for your classes, like, for your grades, you know?
And nice.
It's like, cheap, you know.
This is an educational podcast. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize how things work.
Like, and it seems like it's like 1500. Sounds like, I don't know. Maybe that's a lot of money. Maybe it's not. It's like $200.
So $200, and you're a great student.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, and you know, I always thought that they were a lot smarter than us, but now I know they just had 200 bones.
Not
to spare.
The foreigners who study there.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably
the ones
true.
That come over here and study.
So how do you pick China to go study at if you don't speak the language?
My dad really kind of was like, "Hey, like China's the next big thing." My dad, like, I'm like an artist. I'm a musician. Like, I love like. I'm a very creative person. My dad is like super strict, like immigrant, like
right.
Moved here, Arab, was like, you're going to be a lawyer or businessman or a doctor, you know?
Yeah.
So like for him, it was like I was getting in a little bit of trouble too. Like I was just not like I grew up in Florida. So that just kind of sums that up.
We get it. We get it.
My dad's like, China's probably a better place, you know? And
unbelievable. I mean, your father was legitimately trying to get you imprisoned in a Chinese prison. That was his plan.
Maybe that was, that was maybe his
long
term.
You know
what
would teach him a lesson?
Yeah.
You're not going to get this here in Florida.
It's funny because she's looking at me like, that's pretty true.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it wasn't intentional, but yeah, that's how it worked out for him and me. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, he was like, learn Chinese business. Like, if you can come back and be speaking Mandarin, like, everything comes from China. Like, it's the future, you know, like, it wouldn't help, like, it wouldn't hurt you.
Yeah, worst case scenario, it just doesn't hurt you.
Worst case,
yeah. Once you get over there, you know, you'll find out what real freedom feels like.
Yeah.
All right, well, so you do end up going to jail. Is that right?
Yep.
So you're jailed. What are they? Which one of the many violations you've already mentioned did they finally jail you for?
Surprisingly,
a different one.
No, I lucked out. Like it was none of the serious
none of the
laws
so
that
far.
I
okay.
broke. I'm very grateful for how much I lucked out. Like there was like kids that did a lot less than I had done that ended up in there a lot longer. You know, just like, so I punched a cop.
So smart. Yeah. So smart. The thing is the cops over there, they don't even have authority. It's like, it's almost, they're like mall security guards.
I had just, you know, just imprinted that in my mind for so long and just like had such a lack of respect for them. You know, like they could never catch me on the moped. They're not going to catch me now.
You got a high speed vehicle like a moped.
Yeah.
So in your mind, as this is happening, what, first of all, what are the cops hassling you for?
Drugs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, they find, or they suspect you of drugs at least. And in your mind, the thought process is knock this guy out one punch, like in a movie, walk away scot-free.
How
many cops were around?
There were six.
Okay.
And then there were another six outside.
Yeah.
But I seriously, like, my thought process at that moment was like, I'm going to jail for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I was fighting for my life, like, in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, hindsight, I found out I would have only gone to jail for, like, 10 days for what I did.
Well, again, their laws are so unpredictable over there.
I was like, I'm getting the death penalty. I'm like, I'm so screwed, you know? Like, and I actually got out of the doors. Like I punched the biggest cop. Like,
smart.
Yeah.
Because again, if you're going to be initiated in the gang, you need them to know.
Well, it's like, I don't know. I've heard it's like you go for the biggest guy first.
You take him out.
And then the other guys get intimidated, you know? And like, I'm big in China. You know, I'm 5'9". Like, But I was like, So like, I just hit him and I just started running for it. The security guard at the hotel grabbed my hoodie. Like, it's funny because how I remembered it, I just like punched one and like ran. No, like I was like shoving cops out of the way.
Yeah.
Like they played the video in court and I like my story was completely different than what happened. I was like, I just like punched him and ran and that was it. They're like, they played it back, and I like was brawling with these guys and like trying to get my hoodie off and threw another guy. Like, I'm not a big guy, but I wrestled and I'm from Florida.
Yeah.
I've been in a few street fights,
sure.
And I booked it for the door and I got outside and there's just six more cops waiting for me.
So excited.
They body slammed me onto my face. My glasses went like flying. I ended up being in jail. I have really bad eyesight. I ended up being in jail for like 45 days. The first 45 with no glasses, like with just like horrible eyesight.
That's nice. So that way everyone seems like a shadowy figure.
Yeah. My eyes got better.
It's like
marginally better, you know, just being in there without them on.
Trying to focus.
But it was nice because like it's all propaganda all the time. And like in the jail. Like,
yeah.
They play propaganda for like 5 hours a day, and you're just supposed to like when you first get in there you have to they call it class, and it's just like propaganda. And then
what kind of stuff are they throwing at you? Just about how great China is?
Yeah, pretty much like how great China is, how bad of a person you are, that you're like you deserve and belong to be there, like you're a flawed human being, like you're at fault for whatever you did, and like it's just like running and. You sit like three times a day plus the two times a day that everybody else sits. When you first get in there, you have to sit five times a day in class. And you sit for an hour. It's on a hardwood floor, like on your butt, which doesn't like it sounds like whatever. But after like 5 days of that, your butt is so sore. And then I was there for like 9 months. So I was just sitting on my ass like on hardwood floor. And you just can't get comfortable. Like, I still have, like, hip problems and, like, back issues, like, from being on the ground. Because it's, like, you sit on the ground, you eat on the ground, you lay on the floor, you sleep on the floor. It's, like, it's a room, like, maybe twice the size of this podcast room, but, like, 12 guys are sleeping like sardines, shoulder to shoulder.
And how many of them are foreigners? Is you and
not that many? Because I spoke fluent Mandarin, I was like, just everything worked out. Like, I know I ended up in jail there, but like, aside from that, everything went like worked in my
favor. Couldn't have been a better experience.
It was like, yeah, it's like I paid my dues, and then like everything was like. Like, I knew guys that were in that room for 4.5 years and never got to leave.
Damn.
But because I spoke English and Mandarin, I was able to leave the room to translate for other guys, which was really wild. Like, I'm writing a memoir about it now because it was like, I didn't hear through hearsay. Like, you hear a lot through hearsay in this jail because, like, you get moved to another room sometimes, or like they, like if you have a disagreement with one of the inmates, they like send you to another room. Like I got transferred a room one time, but like I got to hear firsthand the stories of like guys, other foreigners that were in prison in China.
Right.
Cause I was translating for them. Like one guy, was actually one of the Nigerian prince scam guys.
Nice.
Yeah. And he got like $450,000 from a Chinese woman. He scammed her out of $450,000. And for him, he only got like 4 years or 3 years. And I was like, geez, that's like $150,000 a year. And he's like, I know, you know? And
yeah,
it was
he's
like,
loving it.
Yeah, he's like, it's great. And I don't have to worry where my meals are coming from. I know I'm going to be fed here. And like for him, it was totally worth it. And like for me, it's like the most devastating experience ever.
Yeah.
And I, you know, like, but I got to hear these stories firsthand from these guys, and yeah, I got to like exit the room to translate for these guys.
You at least got some diversity in the day, so you're not just staring at the same walls all the time.
Yeah, but because of that, like I was around more foreigners than other foreigners probably were. So they like when foreigners first got in, they would put them in my cell so that I could translate to the warden like their story. You know, and then so there was always probably at least one or two other foreigners in there with me, at least for like a few days.
Right.
And then they would take them out.
Damn. Well, tonight's episode brought to you by Chinese prisons. Come have a good time. That's their slogan, right? Chinese prisons. Come have a good time.
Yeah.
All right. So you're in there 9 months. And I mean, do they tell you? This is how long you're in? Are you just, like, waiting? Like, it might be years. I might get out tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the worst part, is, like, I was in a place, the place that I would have initially gone to if I just got caught for the drugs, for 10 days. And it was, like, the worst place I'd ever been in my life.
Yeah.
And I had a bed. And it was, like a piece of wood on another piece of wood, like, but it was a bed.
Right.
Because when I didn't have a bed, I was like, no, that was a bed. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And when I was leaving, they, like, searched me, strip searched me, take me out. And I was like, wait, like, why are you strip searching me when I'm just going home, you know? And they're like, no, like, your sentence hasn't even started yet. And so when I got in there, they take pictures, they do your fingerprints, they do all this. And, like, they say, okay, this doctor gives you a paper and he says, all right, we're doing a 3-day trial period. And I can read Mandarin. So I'm like, okay, it says, like, 3-day. That's how long I'm going to be in there. And I'm like, not bad at all, right?
Yeah, three, okay.
Yeah, and then the 3 days goes by and they hand another thing through the bars and they're like, 7-day extension.
Damn.
And then it's like, 1 month extension, 1 month extension, 1 month extension. And you don't know how long you're going to be in there until you get your trial. And then after like a 3 month extension, I got my indictment papers, which said 3 years.
Damn.
So like that's when things like were like dark.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I'm going to be in this cell for 3 years.
Are you thinking? I got to break out of here? Or are you thinking, like, I just have to suck it up? I mean, there's no rules in the prison either.
No,
you could have just left, probably.
I mean, if I'm going to be, like, honest, and you're thinking suicide.
Yeah.
Like, you're totally, like, that is what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And, like, luckily, I had guys in there. Like, I had this other guy who, like, I really won't say his name just because, like, his case is so serious in China right now that, like, that was in there for 4.5 years.
Right.
And I like, and he helped me a lot. Like some of these older guys, like a 65-year-old man who's in there doing the same thing that I'm doing at like 25, 26. And
right.
I'm like, there's no way like I shouldn't be able to like toughen up and just handle this. Like if this guy, like he has had like surgeries and back issues and all this stuff. And like, so there were like inspiring people in there. And he would always say to me, he's like, you're going to be in here for a few months. Like everybody in there was like, you're going to just be in here a couple months. They're going to extend it. Like nobody thought I would be in there very long. They're like, you're an American. They don't want to cause any trouble with America. Like
right.
you'll be fine. So it was a lot of that kind of gave me a little bit more hope. But yeah, for sure. Like, that thought goes through your mind. But the thing is I was in a cell too with like a convicted murderer that you have night watch, like, which is basically someone has to be actively watching this person. He's like on suicide watch 24 hours a day.
But he's in a cell just laying next to you basically?
Yeah, he is. And sometimes like if he gets in trouble, they chain him against a wall.
Sweet
and,
Jesus.
Yeah.
This sounds like a good time. Come on by Chinese prisons. Oh,
He had shackles on all the time. And so this is actually like, I mean, it's kind of funny thinking back at it. But when
yeah.
I first got there, like nobody knew. They thought I was at this first place. So like all the stuff, like everything they sent to the consulate, like they send information to the American consulate and they're like, hey, so-and-so has been arrested. He's at this location. Well, by the time they got that information, they had transferred me to the other place. So the consulate went there to find me to like notify my family and like send me like, you know, money or whatever. And they couldn't find me for 45 days, which is why like I couldn't get glasses. I couldn't get anything.
Right.
So I didn't have any money for the first 45 days in there. And like not that you can buy a whole lot with like money in there, but I'm hypoglycemic like or I was before I went there. I don't think I am anymore.
They cured you?
It's which is crazy. Like yeah, I think like the adrenaline
Chinese prisons will cure what ails you.
Yeah, and like I would need like little breads at night, you know, because you finish dinner at like 4:30 and you don't eat until like 7:30 the next day, you know, so I would get very low blood sugar. Like I passed out in there a couple of times and but so what I did is for the night watch. This is pretty crazy, but I would start doing other guys' night watch duties. So you're supposed to sit there for like the first watch is like 2.5 hours. And then they wake the next guy up and they go back to sleep. They go to sleep. And then you're like, if I was the second guy, then I go and do night watch. Well, the new guys, they all do the 2.5 hour night watch. So,
right.
So like I would do that one and then I would do like the third night watch and I would trade doing people's night watch for like some bread and apples. And so like I ended up like within 45 days had like more food than a lot of people in there because I had basically like traded my night watch services for food.
Yeah.
And then like I was translating for a lot of like some other foreigners. A lot of Nigerian guys that I made friends with in there, like, you know, lifelong friendships I built in there.
You're part of the royalty now.
Yeah. So,
you're like the Duke, the Nigerian Duke.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, but they would come in and then I started like basically like translating for them to do night watch for other people. And then like, I would like take a cut of what they got
nice.
For night watch.
Night watch manager.
Yeah, and I would like when they came in, I would like give a couple things to them. I'd be like, "Yo, here's some bread. You know, like here's a pack of noodles.
Yeah.
You know, but like if you want more of where this came from, like
so smooth.
Yeah, and then we got caught, and I got moved and got in trouble.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I mean, you were basically the Red from Shawshank Redemption of this Chinese prison. Morgan Freeman was playing you and wow, so one amazing that you were cured. That I mean that's some dark magic right there that worked in your favor. Two, have you thanked them for curing you of
maybe
send a letter just saying.
Yeah, I thought about it. It's funny, one of the wardens in there, like, because I had a production company out there too, and like
okay.
they so like it went from like actually like being homeless to like a clothing store, which like I found a partner on, and we teamed up and we like came up with this concept. Like, you know, I like I'm marketing and branding. Like that's what I went to school for. Like I've always done advertising and I love building brands. So it was like that into nightclub, into production company. And so like at like the peak of my career out there, I was like running this nightclub and had this production company. So the warden knew that I had a production company and was like, you got to take pictures of my family.
Yeah, and obviously.
I was like, yeah, sure thing. You know, like, sure enough, he's like, when you get out, you know, like, can you take some good photos for me? And I was, yeah, of course I will. You know, yeah. They took me straight from there, like, to the airport, and I was deported, and I'm, like, banned from China now. But
I mean, it sounds like some photos need to be taken.
I know. I attempted, you know. So like, I tried to thank him.
They're saying you're banned. What I'm saying is they don't have rules over there. So what you do is you fly back in under an alias, definitely mm-hmm. give them a fake passport.
Yep.
And you get at least get the photos taken and then tell the warden, I broke some laws. Could you get me back in? You know,
for some free photos.
Free bread.
Here's a couple.
He literally hands you an apple slice. And you're like, oh, this is for the photos? You love apple slices. Everyone
it's
knows
funny.
That.
That was like our currency and there was apples.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, how many apples is this worth?
God damn. That's a scary world to live in. All right, so then they deport you. So you get out of jail. How do you find out? Do they tell you like tomorrow you're free or
they no you,
you
go
have
to
a
trial. You go
yeah.
to trial. I got my trial at like 7 months. And I went to my trial. They basically said like my total sentence was actually like 8.5 months. And then I was in that other place for 10 days. So it was like my full sentence was 8.5 months plus the 10 days. So it's like I rounded up 5 days, you know. But it's
right.
They tell you this is your date that you're supposed to get out. I didn't get out on that day. I think it was like 2 or 3 days later, which is also very frustrating.
Yeah, because then you're like, how long are they going to keep
yeah,
this up?
And there was other scandals and things going on where like they kept like totally innocent guys in there. Like some... Yeah, like some French guy was his name was on paperwork for a bakery that had expired flour, and the guy got like thrown under the bus and was in jail for like a year, and
damn.
Like, yeah, like it was wild. So like you hear stories like that, and you're like, oh God, they're just gonna keep me in here.
Yeah,
and then they came to the guy and they're like, sign this paper that says you're guilty and we'll let you out, and he was like, hell no.
Yeah, I'm not signing that shit.
Yeah, and just like kept like. Yeah. Giving it back to them, and eventually, like after, like French government had gotten involved, and like it was a huge story. He ended up getting out like 2 weeks after his release date, and mine was like 2 or 3 days, I think, after my release date.
Still terrifying, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sure. Then you fly back. You go to where? Florida?
No, I came right to California.
You came to California.
Yeah.
And so, do you call your parents and tell them I'm back in America? I'm out of jail.
Yeah, I have a sister in California, so it was kind of like that was the plan for me to come here and just like still like stay away from Florida and kind of like start a new life out
yeah.
here. So my father knew that I was coming out to California.
Worst place for you to live, Chinese prison or Florida?
Definitely Chinese prison. Like,
yeah.
I wish I grew up on a beautiful island in Florida. Actually,
yeah.
It's like it's a lot of rednecks. Like my dad, he's an immigrant, but like he was like Americanized in the South.
He embraced the culture.
So he's like an Arab redneck. Like,
is he into NASCAR?
He's not in NASCAR, but he's into cars. He's
okay.
into fixing cars and boats and
wow.
like yeah. Like I was telling her, like our lawn was like just. Like a bunch of junk, but like really nice junk. Like we had like really nice like fishing boats that were like broken down and like an old Range Rover and like, you know,
yeah.
So it was like redneck, but like
yeah.
Arab still,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know,
classy, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. My dad loves Leonard Skinner.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Just the thought of Middle Eastern immigrants listening to Skynyrd is—it's like one of the most
thing.
Beautiful things I've ever
yeah,
heard in my
it's
life.
It's a thing. They all love him. Yeah,
wow.
They all love Leonard.
Man, that's great. All right, well, we're gonna take a break, and then Sarah's gonna come and ask some follow-up questions and find out a little bit more about the life of Zach. So we'll be right back.
All
right.
Say hi.
Guys, Winks just hit me with a – it was a seriously – it felt like I was molested by the wink. It was extra special. We're back. Sarah's here.
I'm here.
Sarah, this is Zach.
I know. I'm so fascinated by this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm more fascinated that you were quiet. You were, like, listening.
Yeah.
You were, like, intrigued.
I keep waiting. I'm like
– unless you have low blood sugar right now.
It's plummeting. It's, I ate a cookie in the car to make sure that it didn't get low.
Oh.
But, yeah, I mean, Chinese prison, that's fascinating every time.
There was a Russian kid that thought he was going to mug this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the thing is like robbery in China is very frowned upon. Like, that's, like, serious. Like, you're
ridiculous.
Worse
ridiculous.
Than murder?
Ridiculous.
It's not, it's, like, equivalent.
Oh, equivalent.
It's very close, yeah. Mm. He beat this man up, took what ended up being, and they charge you based on how much you take. So he took what ended up being over 1 million RMB, which is like, that's like the worst sentence. And, which ends up being like, it was over $150,000 in different currencies. So he had like Australian dollars, euro dollars. And
he probably bought so many Prada shoes and sunglasses with that.
He would have, except for that.
Except he got caught.
He was buying apples.
Yeah.
And hoping to get a little extra sleep by handing him over.
Imagine the amount of Drakkar Noir knockoffs he could have bought. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, it's,
okay, so he stole that. How long did he get?
I don't know how long he got. But when I was in there translating with him, the warden was like, "Why did you steal it?" And the guy turns to me and he goes, "Because I wanted to go on a trip to Thailand." And like I know enough about Chinese culture to like know that they appreciate a story, and like that's just like harsh. Like there's no reason to beat a man to go to Thailand. You
know? It's not.
They don't even like Thailand.
Kid is sick,
right.
And,
yeah, right.
You got to give them some sort of a saga.
So, I did, and so like I just completely like fabricated his story, and I was like, I'm telling him that you have kids in Russia that are hungry. You have two kids, and then you need to pay for their school and their food, and you were trying to send money back to Russia. And I'm like, but that's your story. Are you okay with that? And he's like, yeah, and that's what I told. And the guy looks at me, he goes, "That's what he said to you?" And I'm like,
that's
what,
that's
he,
what
said.
He said.
Yeah, yeah. The way you say kids in Russian is Thailand. So it's a loose translation, but
exactly.
Then also, like, I did you ever eat anything crazy or drink any, like, I cannot. Every time I've ever been to Asia, I feel like their menus and stuff are just so fascinating to me. So,
yeah,
she means weird.
Yeah,
I mean, but cocktails, like, just different.
So when I first got there, they have a thing called baijiu, which is just rice wine. That's what it translates to.
Yeah,
but it's like I don't know, like 65 to 75% alcohol.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's insane how much alcohol. Yeah. And there was this bar, and we would like make bets, and inside the bar they had all these jars of fermented things. One was just these fermented like mushroom things, and baijiu already tastes like I'm not like it tastes like regurgitated alcohol vomit. Like, that's what it tastes like, because it has the taste of alcohol.
Kind of. Yeah.
But it also tastes like it's been, like, regurgitated.
Some stomach acid mixed in there. Yeah. Nice.
So we had, like...
So it cost you a couple apples to get a bottle of that.
And then... So I've had, like... I've lost a bet and had to take a shot of baby rat fetus by Joe.
What?
Fermented baby rats.
Uh-huh. And
it was gross. It was like you think you can't get much grosser than like this already horrid alcohol.
Yeah.
Did you vomit or did you?
No, I didn't. I vomited when I drank like several shots of it. Like it.
You drink more than
no,
what?
Not the baby rat one. But like then
like,
I
rice wine in general. Yeah, yeah.
I bet you can't beat up 12 cops.
I should mention I have a gambling problem. Yeah. No way you take out the big cop on the first punch. Get me a rotting turtle and some rice wine. Let's do this.
Yeah. Cracked his knuckles. I'm also going to take a shot of cracked knuckles.
Okay. We went on this trip, like a day trip up to the mountains, and this guy was like a villager there. He had never seen foreigners before, and I convinced him that all foreigners speak Mandarin.
Yeah, smart. No, we all do.
I was like, that's interesting. I've never met a Chinese person before, you know, like we were just having this conversation. And I was like, we all speak everywhere in the world. They all speak Mandarin.
Yeah,
and
clearly.
This guy's like, no way. And he goes, try some of my baijiu. And like, you can't turn a guy down. And especially like drinking and like taking shots, like they down bottles of like nice wine, like, you know, like they'll fill up a glass full. Like the word for cheers in Chinese is make it dry, so there's no like, whoa, oh cheers, take a nice sip of your expensive champagne. No,
right.
You always down it. So he pulls out this jar and it's a tiger paw.
Get out.
It's a fermented tiger paw.
Yeah.
And this guy is so proud. He's like, yeah, this is not cheap. You know, like, this is the nicest stuff. It's a fermented tiger paw.
Honestly, if I walk into a bar and they don't have it, I just leave. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you're in a classless place. Yeah. Let me get six shots of tiger paw lined up.
Wait. And? Did you try it?
I tried it.
To,
yeah. Yeah, I had
does
to.
Say,
and
does it taste the same?
No, it all just tastes gross in its own way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, it's like,
oh,
it's gross with a hint of tiger paw.
Yeah, it's a rotting tiger paw this time.
Did he make that himself?
Yeah, they make it.
So he caught the tiger.
He
no,
probably
he
bought
no.
a
said,
paw to market.
He bought a paw. Yeah,
yeah.
He said he bought
it's
a
China.
Paw.
You can buy lots of animal parts
like a,
there.
Yeah,
yeah,
like a no, wet market. Is that what they
yeah.
call it?
Yeah, another paw story.
Yeah,
oh, please.
Yep.
Not a good one.
Oh, no.
So, like,
I don't
the
believe
other ones there. Were good.
I don't believe there's a bad paw story. That's just me.
So I went backpacking. I had a friend, like, from Georgia. He's like very flamboyantly Southern and gay. You
yeah.
know? So
yeah, that's a
like,
great combo.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, at the time, I couldn't read Mandarin, but I could speak it. Mm-hmm. And he studied in university, so he could read it but not speak it.
Okay.
So I could speak it and not read. So together we were like half of like a Chinese 8-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like,
sure.
You just read, and he would be like, this is beef, this is chicken, and I would order it because I knew how to say those words.
Mm-hmm.
So we went on this like backpacking trip together, and we end up in like the poorest province of China, which is Guilin province. It's the most beautiful province in China, but it's just mountainous.
It's
so
very
there's
rural.
Not, yeah.
Yeah.
So like I would go to like restaurants to order, and I would be like, I want chicken. And they're like, oh, we have chicken. They had all of the innards
inside.
And the gizzards
yeah.
and like the neck and like the feet, but they sold all their meat because they didn't have that much of it. So like they could make money and they would eat the insides of the chicken.
Mm.
And it was the same thing with the cow. Or they're like, yeah, we've got cow. Yeah. Like cow heart. You want cow heart? Like, so I pretty much just like went to like juice stands and like drank like these like blended juice drinks. And I ended up getting sick because like my immune system was like, I was just basically surviving on like juice drinks and apples, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not surprising if you know anything about China.
And like Snickers, I would go into a store and like buy. They would have stores with like candy. You
no
know?
Rice, like they don't.
Rice? No, there was. I did eat some rice, but like I just felt like it just felt like these places were so gross. Like some
right.
of these, you know, like at the least the fruit I saw them like open the fruit and cut it, and like I knew that it was more fresh. Like
okay,
so. We finally found like the food street, and we're all excited. And the famous thing there is the fish. But this is Guilin province. So, like, you might have heard something about Guilin. And when we're walking down the food street, I see this, like, cart of skewers, like, being mm-hmm. pushed down the road. And when you see paws on a skewer, you don't know what you're looking at. Like,
kind
it's just, like, as an American, you're like, what in God's name
that
is
seems
bit.
Odd. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, so, and I go, I ask the woman, I go, like, just a shema, like, what is this? And she goes, goro, dog meat. And it was a dog paw skewer. And they just had them lined up like lollipops. Like, it was just like they were just sticking out of her cart. And she's like,
you can pick your breed, that kind of thing. How does that work? Is it extra for Dalmatian or something exotic?
That's exotic, but normally they use those for rice wine.
Smart.
Yeah. Just make a fine rice wine.
Yeah. Depending on the size of the
severed Dalmatian head wine.
Yeah. That's a delicacy.
Wow.
I always feel like, I mean, I'm trying to think. Like, I haven't been to China, but I've been to Japan. And, like, it's teppanyaki, I think, is what they call the skewers in Japan. But, like, it was always just, like, we'd go to yakitori. Yeah, they would have, like, a menu. Like, they'd have one in English, and it was, like, handwritten. And it was never – it was, like, every part of the animal. And I just, like, okay, I'll just have a beer.
You know?
Like, I'm like, I don't know. I can't do it.
The translation in China is really bad, too. Like, there's, like, where they just try to translate it. It's, like – people will go and be like, yeah, I speak English and apply for this job as a translator, and they have no idea what they're saying. Like, I've seen in stores, like, there's a word, it's like gansai, it's like dry vegetables, but gan, like, if you use the wrong tone or use the wrong character, it translates to like fuck. And so, like, I've just seen in a store, like, fuck vegetables.
Yeah. those are the good ones. Eggplants, zucchinis, cucumbers.
Text ones. Yeah. So how long were you out there total?
I was there 9 years.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So you went out there to go to college, but the only time you went to class was in prison. And then
different kind of class.
And then after, did you graduate out there? Or did
Yeah.
Okay. And then
he had enough money. He had $1,000 to graduate from college out there.
But then you said you were homeless for a little bit, so I just wanted to hear about that real quick.
The homeless situation actually – okay, so I had overstayed my visa and not really, like, realized that it was, like – I don't know exactly how – like, I don't – I overstayed my visa by, like, some, like, ridiculous mistake. It was just dumb. So, like, the second I found out, like, I wasn't intentionally doing it. Like, I ran. I, like, got on the train, and I went down to the Hong Kong border because, like, I had, like, at the time, it was, like, I had an entry, like, an exit-enter visa. Uh-huh. So, like, I had to exit every 90 days. So I went to exit, and they basically told me that I wasn't gonna – that I couldn't leave. And so I had to come back to Shanghai. Then I went to a police station, and they gave me, like, a temporary visa, but it's a Black Star visa, which is basically you're getting deported. So they sent me to Hong Kong. So I flew to Hong Kong with this visa, and then I ended up in Hong Kong, and I went to the American Embassy, and I was like, hey, I need a new visa. And it was, there's, like, only one guy that works at the American Embassy in Hong Kong. And, like, you talk to him every day. So I sent him an email. And I was like, hey, I had this thing happen. And they gave me this Black Star visa. He's like, oh, man, yeah, you probably have to go back to America before you can get a new visa. And then I, like, started calling friends. And I was like, hey, like, do you guys know of any, like, underground visa spots?
Yeah.
So I got directed to one, and I go in there, and there's this, like, Swedish gangster dude in a suit, like, hairy chest, like, rings all on his hand. And he's like, and they, I went there, he was in there, and they denied my visa. And he goes, just lose your passport, get a new passport, and then reapply for the visa, and you'll be good to go. So, like, this is like 3 days after.
Some back channel shit. I like it.
So this is after I talked to the guy at the embassy, the one guy. And so I, like, messaged him again. I'm like, oh, my God, all my stuff got stolen on the subway.
Smart.
And the guy just goes, wow, it's been a real tough week for you, hasn't it? Well, let's get you a new visa. Let's get you a new passport.
So smart.
And I, like, totally saw through it. But he was like, yeah, we got you. So I got a temporary visa, temporary passport. Then I tried to get a visa on that, and they denied it again. And so I flew to Japan. I was in Hong Kong for like a month. I went to Japan. I got my official passport from the embassy there. And by the time I had gotten back in the country, like, I got back to my, to I was planning on coming back, and I messaged my roommates, and they're like, yo, we got evicted. Oh, we couldn't afford rent.
Yeah.
Without you.
Yeah, and they were like trying to sell my guitar and like this stuff. And like so I talked to this girl online, and she let me like crash at her place, but we had this agreement that it was like just like platonic, like no like relationship. And then that's where I ended up. Her roommate was the investor of the nightclub.
Oh.
And so, like, but when I first got there, like, something happened. We were out partying, and she, like, tried to come on to me. And then I was like, no, like, we agreed to not do this. It's going to be really weird. And she, like, kicked her roommate in the stomach that night. Oh. And, like, it was. She
sounds like a firecracker.
She was a firecracker. Yeah. She got way too drunk. And then the next morning, she, like, pulls me into the conversation because her roommate was like, you kicked me in the stomach.
Yeah.
And I saw it. And she goes, did she kick me in the stomach? And I was like, I mean, yeah, she kicked you in the stomach. Yeah, you kicked her. And she goes, get the fuck out.
Damn.
Threw me out of the house. So I just like went with my two roommates who are also homeless. And we just like rode around on the circular line. There's like line 3 and 4, and they just go around in circles. And we just sat on line 3 and 4 and like, it was like winter time. It really stunk. And like, I remember having like, I had cash in my apartment, and I told them, I was like, if you guys would have told me that like you were going to get evicted, I would have let you use the cash, or at least had you grab it. They left. It was like $1,500, like emergency money, like at least to like get a plane ticket or something, you know. They left that. I had artwork, shoes, a bunch of stuff. They left all of that, and they just, so we just rode that line, and I remember I had like no money to my name, and I had like 30 RMB between me and my buddy, and it was Christmas, and McDonald's is open like 24/7. So we would like sometimes hang out in a McDonald's at night.
Yeah. And, as you do.
Yeah.
Florida living. Yeah.
And I remember like spending Thanksgiving in Hong Kong alone. And then by the time I got back to China, I had spent Christmas in a McDonald's with my friend, and we had like $4, and we just spent all of our money on like double cheeseburgers and chicken nuggets, and we're like, Merry Christmas, man. Like, and then within like a few weeks after that, the woman who I opened the mansion with was like, hey, I have this apartment. Like, it was like a high rise, like penthouse apartment. She's like, but I need my ex out of there. He was staying in the apartment. I'm like, I'll do it. She goes, you can stay in the apartment if you can get him out. And so we just went in. He was on vacation, and we just packed all of his stuff. And like right as we're like finishing, like unloading like the final boxes, he walks in. He's like, who the fuck are you? Where's all my shit? And I was like, sorry, dude. She's in there if you want to talk to her. And I just like went outside, and I ended up being able to stay in his place, and then went from there to like living in the mansion
in the
nightclub that we designed. Yeah.
Damn.
What a success story.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to meet real Nigerian royalty, you know what I mean?
In person.
The guy who's got the connects.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah. That's insane tales. And what do you do now?
Now I'm actually writing. Like, okay. I'm writing like a memoir, and then I have a business. I have a picture car company. So I do like higher end luxury, like transportation, and then like picture cars for a lot of TV shows and movies and stuff.
Nice.
And then produce a show with my fiance. She's like a burlesque choreographer and director. So I do that. You know, I try to stay in the arts as much as possible, but
you're LA based now.
LA based.
Yeah.
And how can people find you? What's your Instagram or so if you want to?
I mean, I guess like,
you don't have to.
I'm Shanghai Zach. That's me. But my company is The Yes Culture.
Oh, cool.
And then her show is On the Fringe, at Get On the Fringe. You know, she has a residency show at the Roosevelt every Saturday night.
Oh, cool. Fun, I love that place.
Yeah. Nice. Great burlesque. It's like high concept burlesque, I would call it.
Oh.
Nice. Yeah. Fancy. Oh.
Fancy, very fancy.
Man.
Rick's a low concept. Yeah. Last guy,
I need the concepts to be almost completely gone. Mentally, that's where I'm at as a person. Well, thank you, Zach. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me. Awesome.
Yeah, very interesting. All right. Thanks, guys. Do you have anything you want to promote?
No, nothing.
Again, we're tremendously sorry about the world events that occurred yesterday, whenever yesterday might be. And thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM Ingram Pod on Twitter. That's IngraHam Pod on Twitter.
Goodbye to everyday people.
Special thanks to the Comedy Store and to Brian Riffs for the dope-ass music.